Alhamdulillah, our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah, he has imparted many thought-provoking and heart-touching advices and bayans and lectures. And all those people who have had the opportunity to listen to our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah will all agree with me that a distinguishing feature and quality that we find in the talks of our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah is that our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah, he offers practical advices, practical solutions to problems which are occurring in our personal lives at a personal level, and also problems and issues that are occurring at a community level, on a group level, on a public level. So I humbly request everyone that they listen attentively to what our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah has to share with us. It is for this reason and because of the love and affection of our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah that he is capturing the hearts and minds of many people in locally and abroad, men and women, ulama and also non-ulama, laymen, professionals. And our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah, he continues to captivate and capture the hearts of the people. So I humbly request everybody that they make dua that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives our respected Shaykh a long life. He lengthens his shade over us. And everyone is requested to listen attentive to our respected Shaykh Hafizahullah.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wahdah. والصلاة والسلام على من لا نبي بعده أما بعد فقال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم سل من قطعك واعف عمن ظلمك وأحسن من أساء إليك أو كما قال صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم اللهم انفعنا بما علمتنا وعلمنا ما ينفعنا إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه وأتباعه وأزواجه وذرياته Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, through His infinite grace and mercy, has granted us all the opportunity once again to organize and participate in this 22nd annual youth conference of the Islamic Dawah Academy. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all acceptance and make this gathering a means of forgiveness, a means of hidayah and guidance, a means of soul purification, a means of acquiring the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and a means of acquiring the everlasting salvation in the hereafter. The hadith, I was honored to recite as part of the khutbah In this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam gives three very important instructions. Number one, sil man qata'aka. Tie the bond of kinship with those relatives who break this tie. Be good to relatives. And in this hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is saying, be good to those relatives. Those people of kith and kin who do not behave correctly with you. Sila rahmi. Tying the bond of kinship, being good to your relatives, being good to your aunt, being good to your uncle, being good to your brother, being good to your sister, being good to your near relatives, being good to your distant relatives. It is a very important command of Sharia. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam has said in a hadith, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ قَاتِئٌ. The one who breaks the tie of kinship, the one who does not behave correctly with his relatives, the one who does not stay on good terms with his relatives, with his aunts, with his uncles, with his brothers, with his sisters, with his relatives, this person will not enter Jannah. That means, even if he was to depart from this world with Iman, he will not be granted entry into Jannah directly without having to go in the fire of Jahannam. So such a person will definitely have to go in the fire of Jahannam. When the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam received his first revelations, he came to Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha from the cave of Hira, and he related to her his new experience, and he was somewhat worried. He knew, he had no doubt whatsoever that he was made the Prophet, he was made the Rasul, and he was made responsible to convey the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to the whole of humanity. And now he is the final messenger, he is the final Prophet, and his prophethood will reign until the day of Qiyamah. He knew, he saw Hadrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam, and he knew that Hadrat Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam was the angel sent by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with revelation. He did not doubt that he was made the Prophet. But he came back from the cave of Hira with a very big worry, because he was very humble. So he felt that the responsibility that was laid on his shoulder was more than he would be able to handle. And he felt that there was a possibility that he would not be able to carry out this responsibility. So when he related the whole incident to Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha, he said, لَقَدْ خَشِيتُ عَلَى نَفْسِي. I have fear over myself. I fear that I will fail. I fear that I may not be able to fulfill the responsibility Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has placed on my shoulders. And if I am unable to fulfill the responsibility placed on my shoulders, I will be a failure. And a failure is a disgrace. So I fear disgrace upon myself. Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha was a very wise woman. She said, Kalla, never. Allah will never disgrace you. Kalla, never. Wallahi la yughzik Allahu abada. I swear by Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never disgrace you. Why? Because she said you have five qualities. And any person who has these five qualities does not deserve disgrace. Quality number one, innaka latasilur rahim. You tie the bond of kinship. You are always looking after the well-being of your relatives. You are always concerned about your relatives. You make sure that no harm comes to them. You make sure that no loss comes to them. You are always striving to see progress come to your relatives. Innaka latasilur rahim. You are kind to your relatives. You tie the bond of kinship. You are good to your relatives. You look after the well-being of your relatives. Watahmilul kal. And you take the responsibility of those people who are burdensome. Those who are normally neglected by people, mentally handicapped, physically handicapped, orphans, widows, those who are seen, by the community as people good for nothing. Those who are seen as burdensome even by their own families. You bear their responsibility. وَتَقْسِبُ الْمَعْدُومِ And you look after the poor and the destitute. You fulfill their needs. وَتَقْرِ الضَّيْفِ And you are hospitable to guests. You are so hospitable to the guests that you look after the strangers who come to Makkah Mukarramah. وَتُعِينُ عَلَىٰ نَوَائِبِ الْحَقِّ And anybody you see suffering, you are always ready to assist that person. So because of these five qualities, I am 100% sure that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will never disgrace you. When Khadija radiyallahu ta'ala anha said this, that because of these five qualities, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not disgrace you, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam remained silent. And his remaining silent is affirmation that anybody who has these five qualities will neither be disgraced in this world nor the hereafter. And the very first quality from amongst these five qualities is tying the bond of kinship. In every circumstance, my friends, we have been ordered by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam to be good to our relatives. This is something that the ummah as a whole is neglecting today. Nowadays, friends are more important than relatives, especially amongst the youth culture. Friends are most important. Those people are important to us whose company we enjoy, who are fun. There is no such thing as friendship, as far as we are concerned in this day and age. Cousin brother is boring, he is no fun. Uncle is boring, he is no fun. Aunt is boring, she is no fun. Brothers, sisters, boring, no fun. Parents, no fun. So friends are more important. And our friend circle, it keeps changing. It keeps changing. The friend circle that we have today, this circle came into existence 2 years ago, 3 years ago. Before that, there was another friend circle. 3 years before that, there was another friend circle. 2 years before that, there was another friend circle. Why? Why does our friend circle keep changing? Because whenever we realize that he is more fun than he is, we change the friend circle. So we have no friends. We are friends to nobody and nobody is our friend. We are selfish. We are looking for enjoyments. We are looking for items that satisfy our nafs. Those people who become friends, in its true sense, they will remain friends until they depart from this world, and they will remain friends on the day of Qiyamah. They will remain friends forever and ever in Jannah. Al-akhillau yawmaidhim ba'duhum li-ba'din aduun illa al-muttaqeen. Friends on the day of Qiyamah will become enemies to each other. Oh Allah, don't question me. He encouraged me to do that. He will say, no Allah, it was him. He encouraged me to do that. And it's not only this we did, oh Allah, let me tell you something else as well. He made me do this as well. Friend will become the enemy of the friend in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So much so that each one will proclaim in the court of Allah, Ya waylata laytani lam attakhidh fulanan khalila. I wish I had never took him as my bosom friend. I wish I had never made friendship with him. I wish he was never my friend. I wish I was never his friend. Friends will become enemies towards each other in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, except for those friends whose friendship was based on taqwa, love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is my friend. He is my Muslim brother. I love him. Why do you love him? For the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love him because he has iman. I love him because he has ilm. I love him because he has piety. I love him because he has akhlaq. I love him because he strives to bring goodness amongst the community. I love him because he looks after poor people. Friendship based on deen. Ijtama'a alayhi wa tafarrata alayhi. Ijtama'a alayhi. When they meet each other, and when they unite, and when they become friends, it is for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala demands that they separate and they break ties, then they will break ties only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Man ahabba lillah wa abghada lillah. One who loves only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One who hates only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa man aata lillah wa man'a lillah. One who gives only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And one who refuses only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, فَقَدْ اسْتَكْمَلَ الْإِيمَانِ. His iman has become complete. It's not what you do that counts, it's why you do. مَنْ أَحَبَّ لِلَّهِ. I love him. Why do you love him? For my own satisfaction, for my fun, for my enjoyment. For my ulterior motives I love him. So I love him. Loving is good. And I hate him. Why do I hate him? Because I dislike him for my reasons. Both are disliked by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I love him because he is an alim. I love him because he is a good mu'min. I love him because he is doing good for the community. I love him because he has taqwa. I love him because he has akhlaq. I love him because he is my teacher. He has taught me good morals. And I hate him because he is a thorn that is pricking the whole community. He is oppressing the community. He is a zalim. So I hate him. I hate him because of what he is doing. So the hatred and love both for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will love both actions. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that those two Muslims who love each other only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they will be under the shade of the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah. As soon as they are resurrected from the grave, immediately under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And those people who will be granted place under the shade of the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that will be a gesture from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that the reckoning will be easy. In fact, you will be granted entry into Jannah without any reckoning. VIPs. From the grave, straight under the throne of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So there is no such thing as friendship, my friends. We don't have friends. I don't have friends, you don't have friends. Yes. If we love somebody for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we love somebody because of his deen, if we love somebody because of his iman, if we love somebody because of his akhlaq and good morals and characters, if we love somebody because of the goodness that is within him, for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, yes, he is our friend and we are his friend. And this friendship will help us not only in this world but also at the time of death, in the grave and also on the day of Qiyamah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say on the day of Qiyamah, before initiating the hisab, أَيْنَ الْمُتَحَابُّونَ بِجَلَالِي. Where are those people who used to love each other for my sake only? Where are those friends who are friends because of me? الْيَوْمَ أُذِلُّهُمْ فِي ذِلِّي يَوْمَ لَا ذِلَّ إِلَّا ذِلِّي. Today I will grant them shade under my throne when there is no shade except the shade of my throne. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam narrated an incident from the people of the past. He said that from amongst the people of Banu Israel, a person left his village, he left his town, he left his city to visit a friend of his who lived in another village, another town, another city. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent an angel in human form. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala instructed the angel to ask this person who was going to visit his friend a few questions. So the angel met this person on the way leading to this town where his friend resided. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Where are you going? He said, Uridu akhanli fi hadhihi al-qariya. I am going to visit a brother of mine, a friend of mine who lives in this town, who lives in this village, who lives in this city. So the angel said, are you intending to visit this friend of yours because you need something from him, you are in need? He said, no, there is no need. Are you going to visit this friend of yours because he has done you a favor in the past, so you are able to repay this favor? He said, no. That is also not the reason. So why are you going to visit him? He said, غَيْرَ أَنِّي أُحِبُّهُ لِلَّهِ. He said, I am going to visit this person only because I love him for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The angel said, I have a message for you from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that I love you just as you love your brother. My friends, let us learn to love each other for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us not look at the color of the person. Let us not look at the background of the person. Let us not look at the nationality of the person. Let us not look at the family of the person, family lineage of the person. Let us not look at the status of the person. Let us not look at the wealth of the person. For the pleasure of Allah. Let us love each other for the pleasure of Allah. When Bilal radiallahu ta'ala anhu, during the time of the caliphate of Umar radiallahu anhu, entered the hall or the room where Umar radiallahu anhu was sat with the Sahaba ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, Umar radiallahu anhu looked up. First Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu entered the room. Abu Sufyan, the leader of the Quraysh, during the period of Jahiliyyah. Abu Sufyan, look at his family lineage, Qurayshi. Abu Sufyan, the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Pure Arab, pure Qurayshi, leader of the Quraysh after the death of Abu Jahl, and remained the leader of the Quraysh until the liberation of Makkah Mukarrama, and the father-in-law of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And on the day of the conquest of Makkah Mukarrama, he accepted Islam. So Muslim as well. Umar radiallahu anhu is sitting in a hole in a room, busy doing something, and somebody entered the room, he looked up, and he saw that it was Abu Sufyan radiallahu ta'ala anhu. So he continued doing whatever he was doing. And Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu, not being able to find room to move forward, he sat down where he was. After a while, Umar radiallahu anhu again felt that somebody has arrived and entered the room. So he looked up and he saw Bilal. Bilal radiallahu anhu, ajami, non-Arab, black in color, no family lineage, no status as far as worldly statuses are concerned. Umar radiallahu anhu, when he saw it was Bilal, he said, make way for Bilal. He said, make way for Bilal. He said, Bilal, come here. Bilal, come here, sit next to me. And he used to say that I have two masters. Abu Bakrin Sayyiduna, Ataka Sayyidana. He said, I have two masters. One master is Abu Bakr, the other master is Bilal. Master Abu Bakr freed the master Bilal who was a slave. Sayyid, Umar radiallahu anhu, a pure Qurayshi. Umar radiallahu anhu, the great companion of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. He used to say that Abu Bakr is my Sayyid and Bilal is my Sayyid. Abu Bakrin Sayyiduna, A'taqa Sayyidana. Equality, justice. These are great teachings of our beautiful religion, Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, when he entered Makkah Mukarrama as the liberator, one can imagine the glory. After 8 years of exile, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam is entering Makkah Mukarrama as the liberator. And accompanying him were 10,000 to 14,000 sahaba. Rizwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in. Allahu Akbar. Allahu Akbar. On this day of glory, who is sitting on his camel? On this day of glory, when eyes are set on Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, he is entering Makkah Mukarrama as the liberator. So much humbleness, so much humbleness, that he was entering Makkah Mukarrama, sat on his camel with his head lowered. His chest and head were not high. He was not looking here and there like a conqueror. And he was saying, La ilaha illallah wahdahu. لا شريك له. لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. There is no one worthy of worship except Allah, who is only one, who has no partner. وَنَصَرَ عَبْدَهُ. It is only He who has assisted His servant. I am His servant, Abd. وَأَنْجَزَ وَعْدَهُ. It is only He who has fulfilled His promise. وَهَزَمَ الْأَحْزَابَ وَحْدَهُ. And it is only He who has defeated the coalition. Head low. These kalimat of Tawheed emanating from His blessed tongue, entering Makkah Mukarramah, all eyes set on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam. And who was sat on the camel behind him? Who was sat on the camel behind him during this moment of great glory? Abu Bakr? No. Umar? No. Uthman? No. Ali? No. Hassan Hussein? No. Qurayshi Arabi? No. Osama radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, the son of Zaid radiyallahu anhu, the freed slave of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was so much equality that he used to say, innaka min ahabbin nasi ilayya. Innaka min ahabbin, O Osama, you are from amongst the most beloved ones to me. وَكَانَ أَبُوكَ مِنْ أَحَبِّ النَّاسِ إِلَيَّ. And your father was also from amongst the most beloved ones to me. One day Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu ta'ala anhu saw a young man. So he asked somebody, who is that young man? So he said, you do not know him? Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu said, no, I don't know him. He said, he is Muhammad ibn Usama ibn Zaid. He is the son of Usama. Usama, he is the son of Usama ibn Zaid. Abdullah ibn Umar radiyallahu anhu lowered his head. Lowered his head. And he sat there quietly for a while. And then he raised his head and he said, if the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saw him, I am definite he would have loved him. Because he loved his father, he loved his grandfather. He would have definitely loved him also. And after the liberation of Makkah Mukarramah, when the time for the first salat arrived, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam said, where is Bilal radiyallahu ta'ala anhu? So Bilal radiyallahu anhu came forward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Bilal, climb the roof of Kaaba. Stand on the roof of Kaaba and call out the first azan in the history of Islam after the liberation of Makkah Mukarramah. It was the opening of Al-Masjidul Haram. Bilal radiyallahu anhu called out the azan and our beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam led the salat and approximately 10 to 14,000 sahaba rizwanullahi ta'ala ali majma'in performed the salat. The non-believers who were pardoned just a few moments ago, when they saw the honor that was bestowed upon a few years ago, slave, Abyssinian, who had no status whatsoever. This great honor was given to him. He was standing on the roof of Kaaba and he was calling out the azan. So one said, my father is very, very fortunate that he passed away before seeing this dark day. That a black man is standing on the roof of Kaaba and calling out the azan. A black man getting so much respect. My father is very fortunate that he did not live to see this dark day. The other said, could Muhammad not find someone better than this black crow? The third one said, I would prefer to reserve my comment because I fear Jibreel may descend with the revelation and inform Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam concerning our conversation. And that is what happened. That is what happened. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam called all three of them. And he asked them regarding the conversation. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed this verse to me, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. We have created all of you from the same father and the same mother. You, the Qurayshis, are also the children of Adam and Hawa. And Bilal is also the son of Adam and Hawa. You belong to the same family. Inna khalaqnakum min dhakarin wa untha. وَجِعَلْنَاكُمْ شُعُوبًا وَقَبَائِلٍ. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that we have made you into tribes and different families, لِتَعَارَفُ, so that you are able to recognize each other, not you despise each other. Different faces, different colors, different backgrounds, different nationalities, different families, different surnames, different names. So it's easier for us to recognize each other. Otherwise the whole world would have been in a chaos. As far as the element of superiority is concerned, it is only one. Inna akramakum indallahi atqakum. The most honorable amongst you is the one who has the most taqwa. Bilal may be black, Bilal may be Abyssinian, Bilal may not be handsome, Bilal may not be wealthy, Bilal may not have the status that you are looking for, but in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he is a person with high level of taqwa. And it is because of this taqwa that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has granted him this honor. And not only has Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala granted him this honor today, when I went in the night of Mi'raj, I heard Bilal's footsteps in front of me when I was walking in Jannah. Bilal was in front of me, walking in front of me. So my friends, we have to tie the bond of kinship in every condition, whether our relatives are good with us or not. If our relatives are good with us, then there is no reason why we are not good to them. If our relatives are good with us and then we behave correctly with them, that is not something of an excellence. It is not something praiseworthy. It is not something great. If they misbehave with you and then you behave with them, that is something of an excellence. And this is what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is instructing us to do. Sil man qata'aka. When your relatives break the ties with you, that is when you join ties with them. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Laysal wasiru bil mukafi." The one who behaves well with his relatives when they also behave well with him, and if they turn their faces away from him, he also turns his face. He is not fulfilling this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Walakinnal wasil alladhi. The one who is carrying out this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who is he? الَّذِي إِذَا قُطِئَتْ رَحِيمُهُ وَسَلَحَ. When his relatives misbehave with him, he does good to them. So friends, make a firm resolution that inshallah from today we will pay attention to this command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We will be good to our relatives. If we are rich and wealthy, we will help our poor relatives. If we are healthy, we will help our sick, disabled relatives. If we have status, we will make sure that our deprived relatives also benefit from our status. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi wasallam has said in many ahadith that when a person gives sadaqah, sadaqai nafilah, lillah, tatawwu, sadaqai nafilah, tabarru, sadaqai nafilah, when he gives to a non-related poor person. Alhamdulillah, there is a lot of benefit in that also. A non-related poor person, Allah will grant him the reward for sadaqah, only sadaqah. And when he gives this sadaqah in nafila to the related poor person, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him rewards of carrying out two actions. One is sadaqah, the second is tying the bond of kinship. Silman qata'aka. Tie the bond of kinship, relationship with those relatives who break it. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Please forgive me. If there is anything I have done to you, please forgive me. Even when you know that you are not at fault, tie this bond of kinship only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Send gifts. Assalamu alaikum wa alaikum assalam. Send texts, send messages. When they are sick, visit them. When they are in need, help them. And the closest to us are the parents. Parents. Parents are above relatives. So be good to parents also. What will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you? Safety from the fire of Jahannam. Number one. Safety from the fire of Jahannam. And number two, in this world, what will Allah grant you? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Man ahabba an yubsata lahu rizquhu wa an yunsa lahu fi atharihi. What do everybody want in this world? Two things. Long life and lot of money. These are the only two things. A person has long life but no money, no enjoyment. Lot of money but short life, no enjoyment. Long life, lot of money. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one who desires that Allah grants him a long life with lot of money, what should he do? فَلْيَسِلْ رَحِمَهُ. He should tie the bond of kinship. He should be good to his relatives, kind to his relatives. سِلْ مَنْ قَتَعَكَ. Be good to your relatives. That is the first command. Second command, wa'afu amman zalamat. And forgive that person who oppresses you. Forgive that person who wrongs you. Forgive that person who wrongs you. To forgive a person who makes a mistake, who wrongs you, is a very courageous action. It's not easy to forgive the person who wrongs you, who oppresses you, who is a thorn that is pricking you all the time. It's not easy. The Quran says, وَلَمَنْ صَبَرَ وَغَفَرَ إِنَّ ذَٰلِكَ لَمِنْ عَزْمِ الْأُمُورِ. The person who practices patience, when a person oppresses him, when a person bothers him, when a person takes away his rights, when a person abuses him, accuses him, and he is not guilty, during such moments to exercise patience, to tolerate whatever he is doing, waghafara, and with that also forgive. And one is to tolerate and exercise patience and say, I will take whatever I am able to from him in the hereafter. That is sabr only. But no, walaman sabara waghafara, sabr, and he also forgives. Inna ghalika lamin azmil umur. This is an action that requires a lot of courage, the Quran says. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala praising the people of Jannah says, one of their qualities is, وَإِذَا مَا غَذِبُوا هُمْ يَغْفِرُونَ. When they become angry, when people make them angry unnecessarily, they forgive. They forgive. In order to forgive, in order to exercise patience, a person has to have the ability to control his anger. So when a person irritates me, if I don't have the ability to suppress my anger, I will not be able to exercise patience. And if I am unable to exercise patience, I will take revenge. I will not be able to forgive. Here the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says that you should purify your heart to such a level that you are able to not only exercise patience but also forgive those people who oppress you. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has left Medina Munawwara towards Makkah Mukarrama to liberate Makkah Mukarrama. And on the path towards Makkah Mukarrama, his two cousins, who are staunch non-Muslims, and who had not left any stone unturned to harm the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to stop his mission, they meet him. When this knowledge reaches them that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is coming with a very large force to liberate Makkah Mukarrama, and they ask for forgiveness. Abu Sufyan ibn Haris ibn Abdul Muttalib, not Abu Sufyan ibn Harb, the leader of the Quraysh. Abu Sufyan ibn Haris ibn Abdul Muttalib and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, they both come to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they ask for forgiveness because they were cousins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to show them his grievance, he turned his face away from them. And rightly so. But look at the ladies of that time. In this day and age, if the husband desires to forgive somebody, the wife will remind him of so many past incidents. Here Umm Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha says to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that you are the messenger of Allah. You have come with the final message from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and success of this world and the hereafter depends on you becoming happy with people and they accepting Islam. Will you deprive your own cousins? Abu Sufyan ibn Haris is the son of your maternal uncle, paternal uncle. And Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah is the son of your paternal aunt, Atika. But the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, for their islah, to rectify their mistakes, to make them repent from the depth of the heart, continued to show their resentment and unhappiness. Ali radiallahu anhu was also their cousin. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, I will show you a method by which you will acquire the attention of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So they both said, please do so. So Ali radiallahu anhu said that you go to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and do what the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam did. When the brothers of Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam came to Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam, and Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam said, Hal alimtum ma fa'altum bi Yusuf wa akhihi idh antum jahilun. Do you remember what you did to Yusuf and his brother Binyamin when you were ignorant? Do you remember? Long, long time ago. So they looked at Yusuf alayhi salatu wasalam. And he said, أَإِنَّكَ لَأَنْتَ يُوسُفُ. Are you not Yusuf? He said, أَنَا يُوسُف. Yes, I am Yusuf. وَهَذَا أَخِي. And Binyamin is my brother. قَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has conferred both of us with favor. إِنَّهُ مَنْ يَتَّقِ وَيَصْبِرْ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ لَا يُذِيُّ أَجْرَ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. The person who holds fast to taqwa, who abstains from disobedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and who remains steadfast in the face of adversities, in the face of difficulties. So one who adopts taqwa, one who does not disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and one who remains steadfast, one who practices sabr, he becomes muhsin. He becomes Muhsin, he becomes the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And once a person becomes the Wali of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not let him go to waste, neither in this world nor in the hereafter. As soon as they realized that this was Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, they said, Tallahi, by Allah, laqad atharaka Allahu alayna. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given you preference over us. He has chosen you over us. He has selected you over us. Wa in kunna lakhati'in. And we were the wrongdoers. Please forgive us. So what did Yusuf alayhi salatu wa salam say here again? Forgive. Forgive those people who oppress you. Yusuf alayhi salam did not say that hold on. Let's talk for a while. There are certain things we need to iron out. We need to clear the air. No, he said, La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. There is no blame upon you. La tathriba alaykum al-yawm. And not only have I forgiven you, I am making dua for you. Yaghfirullahu lakum. May Allah forgive you. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin. And he is the most merciful. And when he met his father, Yusuf alayhi salatu was salam, he created an excuse for his brothers. He said to the parents that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is so kind that he has united all of us together after my brothers did this. No. مِن بَعْدِ أَن نَزَغَ الشَّيْطَانُ بَيْنِي وَبَيْنَ إِخْوَتِي. It was shaitan who had divided me and my brothers. He did not say my brothers after they did this. No. So Ali radiallahu ta'ala who said that I will teach you something. Do that and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam will forgive you. So Abu Sufyan ibn Haris ibn Abdul Muttalib and Abdullah ibn Abi Umayyah, they went to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam who had his face turned away from them and they said, Ya Rasulallah, O the Messenger of Allah, لَقَدْ آثَرَكَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْنَا وَإِن كُنَّا لَخَاطِئِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has selected you over us and we have made an error of judgment. We didn't know. Immediately the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned his face towards him with a smile. And he said, لَا تَثْرِيوَ عَلَيْكُمُ الْيَوْمِ يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَهُوَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam moves forward. And Abu Sufyan, who had come spying during the night, was seen by Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu ta'ala, who had a lot of affection for him. Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib radiyallahu, affection that I wish Abu Sufyan can accept Islam because he is an asset to the Muslims. He will be an asset to the Ummah. So he immediately realized that Abu Sufyan has been the leader of the Quraysh right from Ghazwa-e Uhud until today. And he was right at the forefront in opposing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If anybody came to know of Abu Sufyan being here, he will be killed. So what did Abbas radiallahu anhu do? Abbas radiallahu anhu took him under his dagger. Abbas radiallahu anhu, he took him under his dagger. As if Abu Sufyan was his captive now. And he took him in that state to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam saw him, the first words the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam uttered, Waihaka, Ya Aba Sufyan. Waihaka, Ya Aba Sufyan. I feel sorry for you, Abu Sufyan. Waihaka, Ya Aba. I feel sorry for you, Abu Sufyan. Alam yani laka an ta'alama an la ilaha illallah wa anni Muhammad wa anni Rasulullah? Has that time not come for you that you realize that Allah is the only deity and I am the messenger of Allah? The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is forgiving the oppressor. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's desire is that somehow this oppressor joins me forever and ever in Jannah. He accepted Islam. Abu Sufyan ibn Harb radiyallahu anhu. And thereafter the honor that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave, he said, anyone who enters the house of Abu Sufyan will be forgiven today. Anyone who enters the house of Abu Sufyan will be forgiven today. Abu Sufyan radiallahu anhu said, O Messenger of Allah, my house cannot accommodate all the people of Makkah Mukarramah. So he said, anyone who enters his own home or anyone who enters the house of Allah, the Al-Masjidul Haram, will be forgiven today. Wa'fu amman dhalamak. Forgiveness, my friends. Forgiveness. Let us learn to forgive. And not only to forgive, but forgive and forget. If the principle, this is the principle for life. Hold fast to it, my friends. You will remain happy in this world and in the hereafter, I can guarantee you. The principle, the first part of the principle. We should never do anything whereby we have to say sorry to either the creator or the creation. We should never do anything whereby we have to say, oh Allah, forgive me. Why should we disobey Allah that we have to say, oh Allah, forgive me? Why should we violate the rights of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we have to say, brother, forgive me? No. We should live a life where we don't have to say sorry to Allah nor the creatures of Allah. And if we do make a mistake, then we should not hesitate in asking for forgiveness. We should say, please, brother, forgive me. Please, and only saying sorry is not sufficient. Only saying sorry does not bring forgiveness in the hereafter. It is necessary for the person whose right we have violated to become happy with us and say, yes, I have forgiven you. Nowadays, we just send a text and say, I'm sorry. Write a letter, I'm sorry. Email, sorry. But we don't know what is in the heart of the other person until we do not know whether he has forgiven or not. It will not be forgiven in the hereafter. So if we make a mistake, we should ask for forgiveness from Allah also and from the creatures also. And number three, if anyone from the creation, makes a mistake, then without his asking for forgiveness, we should forgive. Without his asking for forgiveness, we should forgive. If we forgive, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive us. إِن تُبْدُوا شَيْئًا أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ أَوْ تَعْفُوا عَنْ سُوءٍ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ كَانَ عَفُوًا قَدِيرًا. If you forgive other people, Allah will forgive you. Allah says, وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَصْفَحُوا. Forgive. أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرَ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. Do you not desire that Allah should forgive you also? If you desire that Allah should forgive you, then forgive other people. فَمَنْ عَفَى وَأَصْلَحَ فَأَجْرُهُ عَلَى اللَّهِ. One who forgives and one who patches up with the person who has violated his right, then his ajr is with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not only will Allah forgive him, Allah will grant him reward. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man kaffa ghadabahu, kaffa Allahu ghadabahu anhu yawm al-qiyamah." One who restrains his anger and forgives, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will restrain his anger from him and forgive him also on the day of qiyamah. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in a hadith, "Man kadhaba ghaizan," one who swallows his anger, "wa huwa yastati'u an yunaffidhahu," when he has the ability to punish the wrongdoer. He has the ability, he has the upper hand, but he forgives. What will Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant him? Allah subhanahu da'ahu Allahu ala ru'usil khalaik. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will call him on the stage in front of the whole audience on the day of Qiyamah. And thereafter Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hatta yukhayyirahu min ayyil hure sha'a. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say, from all these hurs, take whichever you desire. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, man ma tajarra'a abdun jar'atan, ma tajarra'a abdun jar'atan afdala min jar'ate ghayzin yakzimuha. A person does not swallow anything which is more virtuous in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala than the swallowing of anger, which he swallows only for the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. لِيبْتِغَاءِ وَجِهِ اللَّهِ تَعَالَى. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that Musa alayhi salatu wa sallam said once to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Man a'azzu ibadika indak. O Allah, from amongst your servants, who is the most honorable in your eyes? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala replied, Ya Musa, O Musa, Man idha qadara ghafara. One who forgives when he has the upper hand. When he is able to punish, he does not punish. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in another hadith, Man sarrahu an turfa'a lahu al-bunyan wa turfa'a lahu al-darajat falyafu amman zalam. One who wishes that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala builds mansions for him in Jannah and elevates his status in the hereafter, then he should forgive those people who oppress him. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, after liberating Makkah Mukarrama, he enters the Kaaba and he performs nafl in Kaaba. And when he emerges from the Kaaba, he stands at the door with his both hands on the sides of the door of the Kaaba. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam is standing in front of not only the Sahaba Ridwanullahi ta'ala alayhi majma'in, but also his enemies. And he could see all of them. Those who used to spread thorns in his path. Those who used to stone him. Those who used to persecute Bilal. Those who used to persecute Ammar. Those who used to persecute Yasir. Those who used to persecute Suhaib. All flashbacks. Those who did not let him live in peace even after migrating from Makkah Mukarrama to Madina Munawwara. Those who forced him to go into exile. All of them are in front of him. And the very first thing he said after emerging from Kaaba was, La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika la. Wa nasara abdahu wa anjaza wa'dahu wa hazama al-ahzaba wahdahu. Again, reiterating tawheed to his companions that whatever has happened through the fadl of Allah. Not because of me, not because of you, only the fadl of Allah. And thereafter he said, What do you expect from me today? What do you expect from me today? So they said, Anta akhun kareem, wabnu akhin kareem. You are a noble brother, the son of a noble brother. Abdullah was very noble as well, your father. And you are very noble as well. So that was an indication that you are noble in our eyes, so we expect you to forgive us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam repeated the same words that Yusuf alayhi salatu wa sallam said to his brothers. He said, La tasriwa alaykum al-yawm. There is no blame upon you today. Yaghfirullahu lakum, may Allah forgive you. Wa huwa arhamur rahimin, he is the most merciful. And then he said, Idhabu antum at-tulaqa, all of you go, you are free. Idhabu antum at-tulaqa, all of you go, you are free. And whilst he was performing the tawaf, a person who had hypocritically accepted Islam, Fudala radiyallahu anhu, who became Muslim after the forgiveness of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Forgiveness, forgiving is a very great khuluq. Nowadays, we always hear, no, I will never forgive him. I will see him on the day of Qiyamah. I will see him. You will see him on the day. Do you not make mistakes? Other people will also see you on the day of Qiyamah. What will you do then? If you forgive other people, Allah will create in the hearts of other people the thought to forgive you also. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam is performing tawaf. And Fudala radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, who was a hypocrite, he had only accepted Islam verbally, he came right next to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the intent of assassinating the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam looked at him. No, whilst doing tawaf, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was doing tawaf with full dignity. He said, Fudala, he was either behind him or on his right side or left, Fudala. He said, Yes, O Rasulullah, I am here. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turned towards him and he smiled. And he said, What is in your heart? So he said, the name of Allah is in my heart. What is in your heart? The name of Allah is in my heart. Who is disclosing the intent that he had? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? No. No. It is Fudala who disclosed it after he accepted Islam. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not gather the Sahaba around him and say, look, he has come to assassinate me. He said, Fudala, what is in your heart? He said, oh Allah, oh Messenger of Allah, the name of Allah is in my heart. I am remembering Allah from my heart. He said, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam placed his hand on my heart, the coolness of which I felt in my heart. And he said, immediately there was no one more beloved to me than Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And I accepted Islam. Be it Muslim or non-Muslim, be it relative, non-relative, let us learn to forgive and forget, my friends. So this is the second thing, second message, which we all need to go from here with. Forgive. 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 Ahnaf ibn Qais rahimahullahu ta'ala, a very great tabi'i, for whom Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made this dua, Allahumma kfil lil Ahnaf. Oh Allah, forgive Ahnaf. Oh Allah, forgive Ahnaf. Oh Allah, forgive Ahnaf. He used to say that if a person was to give me the whole world in return of this dua, I would not take it. Ahnaf ibn Qais, rahimahullahu ta'ala. Somebody had a small misunderstanding with him, so he said, if you say one sentence to me, in qultali wahidatan asma'atuka ashara. If you say one sentence to me, if you say one bad sentence to me, you will hear 10 from me. This is a saying which people use when they get angry in the Arabic language. In qultali wahidatan asma'atuka ashara. If you say one to me, you will hear 10 from me. So Ahnaf ibn Qais rahimahullahu ta'ala said, walakinnaka in qultali ashara lam tasma' minni wahida. He said, my condition is that if you say 10 bad things to me, inshallah you will not hear even one from me. Jalaluddin Rumi rahimahullahu ta'ala, a similar incident. He was going somewhere and he saw two people arguing. And one said to the other in anger that if you say one to me, you will hear 10 from me. So he went near and he said, listen to me both of you. Listen to me both of you. Whatever you want to say, say to me, because if you say 100 to me, you will not hear one from me. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, somebody came whilst he was the Khalif, and he said, you are like this, and you are like this, and you are like this, you are such a person, you are so bad, you are this. Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu anhu, with complete tolerance, listened to whatever he had to say. And when there is no reaction, then there is no re-reaction. So there was no reaction. When he said whatever he had to say, when he cooled down, he said, are you finished? He said, yes. So he said, I pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that if I am as you have described me, then I am at fault, may Allah forgive me. And if I am not as you have described me, then you are at fault for accusing me. I pray to Allah that may Allah forgive you. So, sil man qata'aka, wa'fu amman zalamaka. And finally, وَأَحْسِن مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. Be good to that person who does evil to you. So not only forgive, but be good. Not only forgive, but be good. Not only forgive, but be good. Maruf Karhi rahimahullahu ta'ala or Junaid Baghdadi rahimahullahu ta'ala, either of the two, he was walking on the seashore with a few of his friends and some young boys from rich family were cruising on a boat, and they were intoxicated because they had consumed alcohol. And when they saw Sheikh with his associates, with his students, they started making fun of these ulama. So the students said to Sheikh that these are Muslim boys, intoxicated, listening to music, cruising in the ocean and they are making fun of such a great wali like you, why don't you make baddua for them? So Shaykh said, definitely, you will join me. And he raised his hand and he said, Oh Allah, they are intoxicated. And at this very moment, they are thinking, it is their assumption that they are in a very enjoyable condition. So Allah, they are thinking that they are in enjoyments. Grant them the tawfiq to carry out sincere tawbah so that they are able to experience the everlasting enjoyments of the hereafter. Shaykh Shibli rahimahullah ta'ala was once persecuted by some people. One of the signs of a wali, one of the signs of a very close servant of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that he does not always have people who praise him. There are always some people who oppose him. So Shaykh Shibli rahimahullah ta'ala was persecuted and he had to leave the town. And he went out into the jungle or in somebody's orchard. And he was tired, exhausted. He was in a state of anxiety, fatigue. So he reclined against a trunk of a date palm. And in lot of anguish, he was sat there, so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to console him gave a karama, miracle came into existence. He gave this date palm the ability to speak. So the date palm said, Ya Shibli, kun mithli. O Shibli, become like me. What is the message in the last part of the hadith? Ahsin man asa'a ilayk. If somebody wrongs you, do not wrong him, be good to him. So not only forgive him, but the Quran also says, وَالْقَاذِمِينَ الْغَيْزِ. What are the qualities of the muttaqeen? They swallow their anger. وَالْعَافِينَ عَنِ النَّاسِ. They forgive. وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. And they do good. So the date palm said, Ya Shibli, kun mithli. O Shibli, become like me. Become like you. فَإِنَّ النَّاسَ يَرْمُونَنِي بِالْأَحْجَارِ وَأَنَا أَرْمِيهِمْ بِالْأَثْمَارِ. Because people hit me with stone. People throw stones at me and I throw fruits at them. Become like me. People throw stones at me, I throw fruits at them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq. This is where I would like to conclude because we still have to perform the Salatul Asr. Three messages and many messages contained within those 3 points. Number one, sil man qata'ak. Tie the bond of kinship. Be good to your relatives. If we have made any errors until today, let us mend our ways. Let us be good to our relatives. Let us give importance to our aunts, our uncles, our brothers, our cousins. And let us try to fulfill their rights. And parents come above our relatives. Number two, wa'fu amman zalamak. Forgive those people who oppress us. Forgive those people who oppress us. And the principle that I have explained to you, first part of the principle is that we should not do anything whereby we have to say sorry to Allah or we have to say sorry to the creation of Allah. If we do make a mistake, we should not hesitate in asking for forgiveness. And if people make mistake, then without their asking us to forgive them, we should forgive them. And number three, وَأَحْسِنْ مَنْ أَسَاءَ إِلَيْكَ. Be good to those people who do bad to you. Inshallah, if we adopt these three lessons in our lives, we will not only become successful in this world at the time of death, in the grave, on the day of Qiyamah, inshallah, forever and ever in Jannah, we will find a lot of peace in our heart. Lot of peace. And these are characters, these are morals, these are akhlaq, these are morals, these are characters, these are akhlaq which will soften the hearts of the people we are dealing with. The Quran says, idfa billati hiya ahsanu sayyi'ah. If a person misbehaves with you, behave with him in a good manner. What will happen? فَإِذَا الَّذِي بَيْنَكَ وَبَيْنَهُ عَدَاوَةٌ كَأَنَّهُ وَلِيٌّ حَمِيمٌ. That person will become your very, very strong friend. A very good friend of yours he will become. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq, and may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enlighten our hearts with the knowledge of the Quran, the knowledge of the ahadith, knowledge of the sharia. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to acquire as much ilm as possible. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to sit in the company of authentic, reliable ulama-i haq, whose chain go right to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to practice and implement whatever we learn. May Allah grant us the tawfiq to propagate the same. And may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us all the tawfiq to remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at all times. And may He unite us in gatherings such as these over and over again to learn what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala requires from us. And may He unite us forever and ever in Jannatul Firdaus in the hereafter with the Anbiya, the Siddiqeen, the Shuhada and the Salihin. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in.
May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us all the tawfiq and ability to practice upon the words of wisdom that our respected Shaykh Hafidhahullah had to share with us. Just before the Asr Salah and before the concluding dua, I would just like to remind all the brothers that the Islamic Dawah Academy is here to serve you. So please continue making dua for the Islamic Dawah Academy, its activities, our respected Shaykh Hafidhahullah. And together with that, please benefit from the Islamic Dawah Academy and support the Islamic Dawah Academy, and also refer others who may also benefit from the Islamic Dawah Academy.